welcome to Inside Education. My name is Sean Delaney. Later on today's programme...
High quality physical education is fundamentally, primarily about learning skills as a foundation for lifelong activity.
The Irish Primary Physical Education Association held its annual conference this weekend, and to mark the occasion, I'll be speaking to the chairperson of the association, Katrina Cosgrave, and the keynote speaker at the conference, Professor Richard Bailey. But first, we take a look at this week's education news with Barry Hennessy. You're welcome, Barry.
Hello to you, Sean.
Barry, this week you have a story that will be of interest to the more musically talented among us.
Well, yes, in a week where there's a traditional focus on the Irish diaspora around the world, one of the more interesting emails to land on our desk came from Berklee College in Boston. Berklee is one of the most prestigious music colleges in the US, and it's been turning out high caliber graduates in contemporary music for over 70 years. For the second year running, Berklee College will be running a Dublin workshop at the New Park Music Centre in Black Rock during the Easter holidays. In addition to gaining valuable insights from members of Berklee's teaching staff, students at the Dublin event will be competing for scholarships for summer or full-time study at the college in Boston. Damien Bracken, a music graduate from Trinity College Dublin, is Berklee College's Dean of Admissions. I've been talking to him about the upcoming Dublin workshops, but first he gave us a little more of the history of the college.
Berklee is known as the world's leading college of contemporary music education. It was founded in 1945. Essentially, at that time, it was a trade school for musicians coming in off the road wanting to enhance their skills in arranging and, you know, writing for big bands. It developed over the years into a school that taught fusion and rock. It's renowned as a jazz school, but it also covers disciplines like composition, arranging, music production and engineering, music business, film scoring. And we're at a point now where we have an enrollment of over 4,000 students. Our alumni are well known throughout the industry. We have 176 Grammy Award winners among our alumni. Some of our better known alumni in the pop rock world would be people like John Mayer and Amy Mann, Donald Fagen. While the traditions of the education are rooted in jazz, the concepts of the teaching and the evolution of the curriculum has grown to cover all styles of music.
How does your theory component keep pace with constantly changing trends in music?
Well, one of the most active areas in our college's curriculum development, we have our dean of curriculum reviews literally hundreds of new course proposals each year, and all of our faculty are people that are professional musicians out there working in the industry. So they bring what they see out in the industry right into the classroom and expose our students to what's happening today.
Tell me a little bit about the upcoming Dublin workshops. Who are they aimed at?
Well, mostly our participants will be college-age students, although it certainly isn't restricted to that. But last year, this will be our second year doing it, and we had last year 44 students participated. We expect to double that this year. We already have 80 students signed up to participate. And they come from not just Ireland. Students come from all over Europe to participate. There are jazz musicians. There are rock musicians. There are people with garage bands that come in to develop their skills and learn more about what we're doing. And also in Ireland, of course, we also see traditional musicians coming in to learn more. The approach of the workshop, the focus of the workshop is on improvisation and the concepts of improvisation, not just for players, but also for songwriters and composers.
If anybody's interested in going along, how should they make contact?
Go to the Berklee website, which is Berklee, Berklee.edu. And if you click on summer programs, you'll see the Berklee in Dublin application.
All right. Now, I know you're also offering a number of scholarships. There's about $20 million worth of scholarships going annually for students interested in securing a place in Berklee.
Yep.
So people who go along to the Dublin event, I understand they will be in contention for scholarship places.
That's right. We'll actually be having auditions and interviews with all of the participants at the program who want to participate in an audition and interview for consideration to both our on-campus summer programs. We have a number of programs, performance programs and technology programs over the summer that we'll consider students for in terms of scholarship, but also for our undergraduate program, we'll also be awarding full-time scholarships to those programs also.
What are the broader academic requirements for students interested in securing a place at Berkeley?
The focus of the application process at Berkeley is really on the audition and interview. What we're looking for is, first of all, are you ready to participate in the curriculum at Berkeley? It's a very challenging environment and a very demanding environment. So we look for students that are really focused and serious about what they're doing and are ready for that challenge. But we also look for what the unique things that each of our students will bring to our campus to enhance the experience for all of our students. So we're looking, in the audition and interview, we're also looking for, you know, what is it about you as a musician and what will you add to the Berkeley community when you come?
And that's Damian Bracken there. He's Dean of Admissions at Berklee College in Boston. Their Dublin workshop will be taking place at the New Park Music Centre in Black Rock during the Easter holidays. Full details on the website, which is Berklee, that's berklee.edu. That's my lot for this week. Sean.
And we wish anyone who decides to attend that workshop and to apply for the scholarship the best of luck. Barry Hennessy will be back at the same time next week. You're listening to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. You can get in touch with the programme by texting 086 8962 665. That is 086 8962 665. And podcasts of previous programmes can be downloaded from iTunes. For many children, it is their favourite school subject. It gives them a chance to move about and to play games. But for a teacher, it is a subject that requires skill and expertise. It's a subject that's often at the mercy of weather conditions or local facilities. Primary teachers who have a particular interest in the teaching of physical education met in Limerick on Saturday to discuss how the teaching of the subject can be improved and to develop their own teaching skills in the area. Almost 70 teachers attended the conference. The keynote speaker at the event was Professor Richard Bailey. Richard Bailey is a writer and a theorist on sport, education and physical education. A former teacher in both primary and secondary schools, he is a teacher trainer and he has worked at several UK universities. He is also the PE expert for UNESCO. Richard Bailey has written several books about physical education, including Physical Education for Learning, a guide for secondary schools. When Richard arrived in Ireland on Friday afternoon, I spoke to him on an occasionally dodgy phone line to his hotel. My first question to him was, what is your vision of a physically educated child?
The first necessary element of a physically educated child is a child who's comfortable in his or her body. I think many of us are growing up nowadays feeling, to use the lingo, disembodied. We're growing up feeling uncomfortable in ourselves, either because maybe we're a little bit overweight or underweight, or we just feel lethargic, or maybe we just spend too much time in our heads and not enough time feeling and celebrating the human body. So, of course, the body is the thing that you carry around with you every minute of the day.
The steps towards that, then, would be things like physical fitness, presumably.
Yeah, I think physical fitness is important. We tend to emphasise it a little bit too much in the West with younger children. Physical fitness becomes important when you start to move towards adolescence and adulthood, and people like you and I think physical fitness is important because it helps us get through the day. Children in primary schools are the most physically fit people on the planet. So I don't think the physical fitness as an aim in the primary schools is particularly important. What's needed in the primary schools are the skills and the knowledge and the motivation so that children want to continue to be physically active, and therefore physical fitness will just take care of itself.
So, for example, if a child plays a lot of games and like football, basketball and so on at break times and outside of school, do they really need physical education as well as that?
I think they need physical education as the foundation, because the reality is that Many children don't play football and other games in their free time. There's many children have a very restricted amount of physical activity away from home. What some researchers call independent mobility, you know, the ability to walk and run and cycle away from home, maybe cycle to school, and these sort of things that many of us took for granted when we were younger, is being reduced almost year by year because of parents' fears about, you know, the dangers of the world, and also just because things are increasingly getting busier, and rather than walking, parents are driving and so on. So we can't assume that everyone is playing games for a start, but also if they are playing games, it seems to be fairly clear from the research that some children are having more opportunity to develop these skills than others, mainly because their parents play more games with them or because their parents think it's important to send their children to clubs. Those children who are at the margins, who maybe aren't so skilled, my research suggests, are those who are most likely to drop out because, well, let's face it, nobody likes being put in a situation where you compare unfavourably to your friends. And school playgrounds can be vicious and nasty places as far as some of these games are concerned. So what physical education offers is a foundation of physical skills. It teaches every child how to run and jump and twist and turn and move and stop and start and change direction. Well, these are the building blocks of all games. Physical education lesson is the one point where every single child has the opportunity to develop a foundation of basic movement skills. And then, of course, they can use those in the playground. I think it would be a mistake to think that they develop them in the playground.
But haven't you just touched on one of the challenges then for a teacher, Richard? Because children are so different and they bring so many different skills to the physical education classroom that it must be very difficult for a teacher to plan a physical education programme for children who are so different physically.
Well, that's right, and that is the challenge, as you said. I used to be a teacher myself, both primary and secondary schools, and I still work with a lot of teachers. And that is the most frequently cited difficulty. You know, the great variety of levels of ability and also variety of interests. To be perfectly honest, whoever said being a teacher was going to be an easy job? You know, this is part of the deal. It would be exactly the same if we were talking about reading skills, exactly the same if we were talking about mathematics. Children come with hugely varied levels of ability. The job of the teacher is to, as the textbooks say, to differentiate, to offer a different type of curriculum to different types of children. Now, that doesn't mean that you teach individuals in different ways. What it basically means is you teach in a flexible way. You have open-ended activities, and in my vision of physical education, you let the children play lots of games at their different levels of challenge. And I think if you did that, it's perfectly possible to meet the needs of certainly the vast majority of children in the class. If you've got children with physical disabilities, then, okay, that's a different type of issue.
So, Richard, in your view, what would a good physical education lesson look like?
Okay, I'll start by telling you what a bad physical education looks like, because this is the type of physical education lesson that is most common in schools in Great Britain, Ireland and continental Europe, according to our research. Not a bad lesson in the sense it's going to hurt anyone, but it just seems to be a bit of a waste of time. The lesson would start with children doing general running about and maybe a bit of stretching. The majority of the lesson would be taken up doing skills, passing drills. Maybe children would be lined up to pass across the line to each other. And then if they're lucky, if there's time, they'll play a game. And then to cool down the lesson, they'll run about a bit and stretch a bit more. That's what I think is a bad lesson.
And why is that so bad? Because that's pretty much how I was taught to teach PE.
Absolutely.
Many years ago.
Yeah, and some textbooks still say that's how you teach, but it isn't. All we know about how children learn, about what motivates children, and about how we can build a foundation for lifelong physical activity, suggests that that's disastrous, that it's... What essentially the problem is that young children, for example, don't need adult-type warm-up and stretch. So in a limited amount of time that we have physical education, why are we taking up 10 to 20% of the lesson doing a general warm-up and stretch? You and I need to do that, but not a 7-year-old. So we've wasted that part of the lesson. What they need to do is they need to get their bodies moving and get their minds active. But you can do that perfectly well by playing simple games. The second problem, and the main problem, is this obsession that we have, not just in phys ed, but also in coaching, with skills. Teaching children lots and lots of meaningless passing drills. How do you learn anything? You learn anything by doing it. How do you learn to play golf? I'm trying to learn golf at the moment. I don't learn to play golf by memorizing thousands of techniques. I learn to play golf by having a go and then maybe adapting it with a little bit of expert feedback. How do you learn to drive? You learn to drive by driving the car with an expert feedback. You don't learn by having lots and lots and lots of drills and skills, and then at the end of the lesson, somehow trying to put them in place. It's exactly the opposite of what learning theory tells us should be happening.
And then if you bring us into a good PE, a physical education lesson, Richard, what does that look like?
Well, that would be immediately getting the children moving, running, jumping, twisting, turning, getting them playing fun games that involve the whole class, that involve some sort of meaningful activity rather than, let's say, run around and stretch. It could be a simple chasing game. If you're later in the lesson going to be teaching them, let's say, some passing skills, you might have a simple passing game that essentially gently warms up the body, but also importantly prepares the mind. And then the very first part of the main body of the lesson has to be a meaningful activity, not a skill, but, for example, if it's a games lesson, play a game. Now, I'm not talking about 11-a-side football or 15-a-side rugby union or anything like that. What I'm talking about would be a meaningful, small-sided game. And then, at some point in the lesson, if the children need it, the teacher can stop and say, let's develop some of our techniques to support the game. And then revert back to the game. One way of understanding the difference is, one of my old teachers used to say, the majority of my schooling, I was given answers to questions I never asked. Well, that's what skill-based training is. You're giving children passes and techniques and different activities when they don't know what they're used for. Whereas if you look at the good lesson plan, where the children immediately start playing games, they'll have loads of questions, loads of problems, loads of demands for information. And that's what the skilled part of the lesson offers them. It offers answers to their questions.
What do you think of having specialist teachers of PE in primary schools?
Yeah, that's a great question. And if I'm completely honest, the answer is I don't know, because we've never tried many of the other options. In the UK at the moment, one of your countrymen, Pat Duffy from Limerick, has been promoting the concept of a physical education coach. This is somebody who's a sports coach who would go into schools, but as part of their training, studies physical education curriculum. And that's been an interesting idea that I've been broadly supportive of. Mainly because of just the evident lack of high-quality physical education in British primary schools. It's viewed as a subject of that causes teachers some discomfort, I think it's fair to say. The ideal situation for me would be a primary school teacher who has continual professional development, and therefore they're continually upgrading their skills and they feel very competent when they go in.
Richard, we've been talking a lot about physical education in the primary school. I wonder, could you say a little bit about how children's needs for physical education change as they grow older?
Well, there's some obvious changes, physically obvious changes, such as puberty, happen for girls at the end of the primary phase, and for boys, if we're to look on average, around the beginning of the secondary phase. That has implications, particularly for girls, in terms of their perception of their bodies and their perhaps unwillingness to expose themselves to physical ridicule and so on. There's a quite well-established dip in attitudes to physical activity and physical education in girls around 13 years of age, and it seems to be that adolescence combined with puberty means that many girls start to get progressively switched off or turned off physical activity from about 13 years of age, and that becomes combined with peer pressure and also this rather peculiar obsession we've got with sexuality and physical activity in the West. You know, girls who play sport aren't real girls, boys who dance aren't real boys, and so on. So these sort of patterns become really quite strong around 13, 14 years of age, till we get to the point about 16, 17, where for many children, that's it. That's the end of their regular physical activity for the rest of their lives. So what that suggests to me is that we need to continue to push these activities. We need to think more and more about the type of lesson I described as a good quality physical activity, physical education lesson. In other words, fewer and fewer lessons that seem to be pointless and boring, because that's what the children say. You know, they get turned off because lessons that aren't relevant to them. I think also what we have to do from the point where children become young adults is to recognise that physical activities are recreational, and therefore there's an element of choice and decision making. In which case, I think we have to start first of all helping them make decisions, and then give them choice. And if that choice is to take part in a low physical activity lesson, I don't know, fishing or golf or something like that, well, that's brilliant, because at least they're engaged with the activity. And once if they're continuing to engage, they're much more likely to return to other activities than if they simply just disengage and then we've lost them for life, potentially. So secondary schools, I think we're talking about more choice. I think we're talking about decision-making. Possibly, and I'm a little bit unclear about this myself because it's a very contemporary question in physical education research, possibly boys and girls starting to have some lessons separate, because we do know that boys dominate physical education lessons and, in the words of many girls, ruin it. So I think we're talking about a different type of beast. The basic principles are still the same, you know, respecting children's needs, meeting their interests, making it different and exciting and high levels of physical activity and lots of learning. But recognising we're now talking about young adults.
There's a lot of talk at the moment in Ireland about investing in education to promote a knowledge economy.
Yeah.
Is it true to say that PE would have little to contribute in that regard?
If your knowledge is knowledge how to live a good life, knowledge how to work for long periods of time so your body doesn't fall to pieces, knowledge how to solve problems and work as a team, knowledge how to live with yourself and with other people, I think it's absolutely fundamental. Physical education, you see, is brilliant at developing what the business gurus call soft skills. These are the communication skills, the cooperation skills, and lots of reports have said that the type of person that large employers want is somebody who's got these soft skills in abundance. Well, research suggests that no curriculum area develops soft skills as well as physical education properly taught. Well-taught physical education is lays a foundation not just for fitness, but also for the sort of communication, social and personal skills that are fundamental for the knowledge economy.
And presumably for reducing the national health bill over time as well.
Well, absolutely right. There's not been that many studies, but the studies that have taken place in Australia and Canada and the United States say that any investment in physical activity for children pays for itself two or three times in terms of the reduced cost on health services.
And that was Richard Bailey, who was the keynote speaker at the Irish Primary Physical Education Association conference on Saturday. And now to respond to what Richard Bailey had to say, I'm joined live in studio by Katrina Cosgrave. Katrina is the chairperson of the Irish Primary Physical Education Association, and she also lectures in physical education in Cloisteweira Merino Institute of Education. You're welcome to the programme, Katrina.
Thank you very much, Sean. Thank you for the opportunity.
Katrina, what were the main talking points among the people who were at the conference at the weekend?
Well, I suppose the audience itself was very mixed, Sean, to start off with. But initially, the teachers were involved in very practical workshops. So I suppose from their own perspective, their professional development in very much the physical areas. Following Richard's keynote speech, I think their main discussion centred around what his title of his keynote was, which was Beyond Busy, Happy and Good. So challenging ourselves to see that our PE lessons are not just involving children being very busy with smiles on their faces and being very, very good in terms of the behaviour, but that we should be looking for something a little bit deeper and a little bit more from our lessons.
And he also had something to say about specialist teachers and about visiting teachers coming in to teach PE. What was the feeling of delegates about that topic?
Well, it was a very interesting feedback session we had post Richard's keynote speech. And in our plenary session, we encouraged the groups to discuss this role of what we would deem an external provider, which could be a specialist teacher or a coach.
In other words, not the regular class teacher.
Not the regular class teacher, somebody who comes into the school during physical education curriculum time. So the feelings were quite mixed, actually. I mean, practices are very arbitrary around schools around the country. It's highly dependent on individual situations, but the landscape of physical education has changed quite considerably, and there are more and more coaches and external providers coming into schools.
So, and these would be people paid by the school, is that right?
Not necessarily. Some may be paid by the school, by parents in some cases, and in other cases they're provided services free of charge as development officers from national governing bodies, particularly sporting organisations such as the FAI, the GAA, the IRFU, etc. So they would be a mixed bag of professionals.
And would the reason for this, Katrina, be that primary teachers don't feel themselves prepared to teach PE in many cases?
Well, it appears that may be the case. I mean, there hasn't been any major research conducted in relation to, I suppose, why this situation occurs, with the exception that teachers would cite that the curriculum overload is a huge problem for them. I do know myself that many of them feel that they would prefer perhaps to spend time doing alternative activities. And I suppose they see it as a break in the day for them in some cases. So it could be a lack of confidence in a particular area also. And so they would feel happier to hand it over to maybe somebody that they feel is more specialised in a particular area.
On another subject, why is the organisation, the Irish Primary Physical Education Association, why is it for primary teachers only? Why is there a separate association for post-primary?
It's a very good question. It's something that we're always exploring with the second level teachers, because I suppose ultimately our aim is very similar in terms of trying to promote physical education. I think for primary teachers, the reality is very different. They're dealing with a much larger curriculum, and second level teachers are, I suppose, embedded in the subject for 4 years within college themselves and spend their entire day teaching that one and only subject. And so their opinions and their perspectives can be a little different in terms of the realities. And a primary school teacher, it's one of 12 other subjects of the curriculum, so it's just different in terms of their needs and their roles.
One thing that struck me about what Richard said was his criticism of the way I learned how to teach PE, which was to have your warm up, your skill practice, your game or your activity, and then your wind down. And Richard didn't seem to be in favour of that. Did he say anything more about that at the conference?
He did, and actually it caused quite a stir amongst the audience, myself included, given that that is the way that all of us, I suppose, approach our PE lessons. I think ultimately, though, while he did seem to dismiss it offhand, when we probed it a little bit deeper, I think really what he was talking about was that the warm-up or the introduction to the PE lesson should have an activity that's relevant to what follows it, which in the development of the lesson. So in a way, I suppose it may have been an alternative spin, but I think to make sure that the introduction to the lesson was meaningful within the context of what was going to follow, rather than dismissing, I suppose, the warm-up idea offhand.
And finally, Katrina, did you yourself learn anything at the conference this weekend?
Well, I did. I learned a lot from listening to the delegates themselves. I did realise, I suppose, from association's perspective, the complexity is on the ground for primary school teachers and what they're having to deal with on a daily basis. And I suppose always bearing in mind that we have huge respect for our teaching population, and there's a lot of good and a lot of positive things happening out there in primary PE, but that we do need to challenge primary school teachers in terms of what they are doing in their lessons.
Katrina Cosgrave of the Irish Primary Physical Education Association, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you, Sean.
And that's all we have time for on this week's Inside Education. You can listen to podcasts of previous programmes on www.insideed.com or on iTunes. You can contact the programme with comments and suggestions to insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. That is Inside Education, all one word, @dublincityfm.ie. Thanks to Katrina Cosgrave, our guest in the studio, and to Barry Hennessy for the education news. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.